Okay, it's time to move on to our Gila County Supervisor candidates. I'd like to welcome from District 2, Tim Humphrey and Mike Pastore. District 3, we have Woody Klein and John Marquente. For the candidates, this will have the same format as the sheriff's. We'll have a up to three minute opening statement, followed by seven questions, alternating who answers the question first. We'll start with Tim with your opening statement, up to 3 minutes, and then we'll go down to your left. Tim, whenever you're ready.
Good evening, my name is Tim Humphrey, and I thank you all for being here this evening. To take time out of your schedule to listen to us. My main deal is I'm an infrastructure person. I think we have too many boarded up buildings, businesses. I think we have too many boarded up homes. I think we need to work on that. My qualifications, I've owned and operated Dream Pole Construction for the last 18 years. I was awarded Business of the Year in 2013. I'm on the board of directors of the Industrial Development Authority with Gila County, which it's been a great education for me because we're the only ones in the state this year with a Brownsfield grant, which is the cleaning up of contaminated property. And we have an awful lot of old gas stations and things in our area that we need cleaned up. So that's been a good experience to go to some of those brownfield grant writing seminars, and we need to get something done with our community, because a lot of our monies are leaving our community because we don't have an infrastructure. Another is I'm on the board of directors of the Globe Miami Chambers of Commerce. I'm sitting on the CIC, which is a Community Investment Committee for Freeport-McMoRan, where people from the community that are looking for grants from Freeport, they fill out their grant paperwork, it comes to the committee. We go through those and it's graded on who gets that money. I'm also on the board of directors of the Boys and Girls Club. I have sat on an advisory committee for the Gila Pueblo College, and I'm involved in many others. I'm very involved in my community, trying to learn and see as many aspects of that community as I can. So anyway, that's some of my qualifications and some of the things that I have been involved in, and I'll probably get more of my interest on the closing. Thank you.
Mike?
Thank you, Mark. First of all, I'd like to thank you and the Silver Belt and Ellen Chamber of Commerce and Rebecca and Carl for hosting tonight. Sorry about that, Carl. For hosting tonight's forum. I think it's very important for the public to know where each of the candidates come from and what we do. So with that, my opening statement is as follows. It won't be 3 minutes, Francine, so you don't even have to watch the clock. I'll get through it real quick. As your District 2 County Supervisor, representing the taxpayers, honoring my commitments, listening to your concerns, and acting on them, and always serving with honesty and integrity, these are the principles that guide me in my everyday activities as a full-time supervisor. I have also learned firsthand the challenges the taxpayers face in Gila County. Over the past 7 years, we have been able to maintain the same primary property tax rate in Gila County. Contrary to what has been said and written during this campaign season. Tax stability helps our economy grow and keeps taxpayers' money in their pockets. Also, county employment has been reduced by approximately 100 positions through attrition and without layoffs. We have consolidated county facilities and functions to ensure county services are provided in the most efficient and cost-effective manner. A recent example of consolidation is the upcoming relocation of our probation department into the new copper building next to the courthouse. This will be a substantial cost savings to the taxpayers, considering that the probation department has been housed at the old county hospital for the past 15 years, and the last year's rent for that building was $165,000. So that is a savings to the taxpayers by establishing our own building. As your District 2 County Supervisor, I will continue to look for and work for positive changes that will benefit our local communities and the county for years to come. And I thank you for your continued support. Did I beat it?
One thing you guys for being here tonight. It's a good group. I want to thank everybody that put this on, same as Mike, and it's a good turnout. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Woody Klein. I'm from Young. I was born right here in Globe. I've lived in Hayward County all my life. Currently, I'm in Young right there where I've been for quite a few years. I graduated school there in Young and went straight to work for the government, Forest Service. I stayed with the government for 19 years and ended up in fire management most of all. From there, I got out of it and went into ranching. My family has been in the ranching world for four generations plus. So I was real familiar with that. Me and my wife, we bought some ranches and started in on that. I have a big interest in our county. Like I said, I've grown up here in this county my whole life. I've never left. I've been right here. I see some things that I have different ideas on, I have different thoughts on, and I'd like to change. I have a big interest in our kids. Like we heard earlier with the sheriff's debate up here, our youth needs a boost. We got to put some time and more effort into our kids. And I have a real big interest in promoting youth programs and helping that along. I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe in that very strongly. I believe in taking care of my money and everybody else's money that's involved. I don't like to see our money wasted, whether that's higher taxes or whatever it is. I like to see the priorities held tight and the money held tight to them. I'm hoping that if I can get in here, I can do some changes and get some new ideas going on in the county, get some representation back in the county, and get started with that. So I'll have more at the close, but thank you.
John?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Mark and Warren and the Arizona Silver Belt, Ellen Critch and the Globe Miami Regional Chamber of Commerce, and also the Dream Manor Inn for their facility here tonight. Of course, my name is John Marconti, and I'm a Gila County Supervisor in District 3, which encompasses St. Carlos, Globe, Precinct 1, 2, 8, Young, Hayden, Winkleman's, Canyon Day, Cedar Creek, Carrizo, Star Valley, and Payson 2. I'm a native Gila County, born in Miami and raised in Globe. I attended Globe schools, and after graduation, I attended Scottsdale Community College and Arizona State University. I returned to Globe after college and started employment with my family's electrical contracting business, where I've been working for the last 43 years. I've been married to my beautiful love of my life, Willie, for 42 years. We have two children and three grandchildren. I'm a strong believer in family values and have been an active member of the community, serving as a member of the Globe City Council and many local community organizations, including the Knights of Columbus, Special Olympics, Relay for Life, and the Globe Miami San Carlos Youth Programs. I've also served as a member of the Globe Volunteer Fire Department, retiring after 25 years. In the last 4 years as county supervisor, I'd like to mention some of the things that I'm proud to have been able to help accomplish. In San Carlos area, I worked to reestablish a road grading agreement for designated roads, provided funds for the new San Carlos Community Life Center, located on the old 80 acres farm site, with the new now being used as rehabilitation and training of our youth. I've helped revitalize Belvedere baseball field for the youth and the residents of San Carlos. I'm very passionate about programs for our seniors and our youth and the disabled. I have helped support Meals on Wheels program in Globe, Hayden, Winkleman, Star Valley, Payson, and I've also supported a number of recreation school programs of the youth, as well as helped fund domestic violence shelters and veterans programs. I'm a strong supporter of economic development projects that will bring jobs and
15 seconds
to Gila County and revitalize communities. I feel that my job as a member of the Board of Supervisors not only represented District 3, but I represent all of Gila County and believe my voting record.
Thank you, John. Sorry. Thank you. Okay, we have a District 2 specific question here. Mike, you'll answer this question first. It's a kind of a long one, please bear with me. An estimated 85% of homes in Lower Miami, Claypool, Midland City, and Central Heights have cesspools or septic systems that don't meet code. This is a huge environmental problem and an economic development opportunity. What can the county do to help Tri-City Regional Sanitary District get proper sewer service in this unincorporated area between Globe and Miami?
That is true. There is a very serious environmental problem in the unincorporated area of Claypool and that whole area from Miami into almost to the Walmart store. And what's going on now is Tri-City Sanitary District has been working for years to develop a wastewater treatment plan, and my understanding is that the plan is there. They've met with the county a couple of times, not recently, but it has been. We were given an overview of what the plan is. I think that the Tri-City Fire District, Sanitary District, is getting ready to apply with USDA for a significant grant. And I also understand that there's been some negotiations between Tri-City Sanitary District and the town of Miami. I don't know where those are at, but I know those were ongoing up until recently. And hopefully we'll be able to come to some kind of agreements and be able to develop a sewer system. I think the town of Miami's in phase two, getting ready to go to phase three, so their system's going to be in place and ready to go.
Thank you. Tim, this is for District 2 only.
Yeah, that's been a major problem. As a matter of fact, I've been to a couple of the meetings and over there with Bob Zach there at the Tri-City Fire Department. So any of you that would be interested, please show up, because when I went, me and Bob's wife were the only public there. So we need to get a lot of those people involved in helping Bob go forward with this. Also, too, like I said, I'm on the board of directors for the Industrial Development Authority. And at one of the meetings, I asked Bob if he'd ever come to the Industrial Development Authority to see if maybe there's something that the IDA couldn't do to help with their process in trying to get this going. Because there again, I'm an infrastructure guy, and having a proper sanitation department for that area is major. Because also too the swimming pool that they're trying to do is going to be near that area. So getting a good sewer system for that area is important. But I've never, Bob said that nobody ever shows up at his meetings. So we have to start doing that.
Thank you. We do have one question that is specific to District 3. If this is not District 3, please correct me. I'm sorry if I got our districting incorrect, but I believe this is District 3. Woody, you'll answer this question first. What do you think of closing Forest Road 203 in Cherry Creek and extending the Sierra Ancha Wilderness?
For those of you that don't know Forest Road 203, what it is, it's a forestry saddle road. It goes up Cherry Creek on the east side, on the west side of Cherry Creek, from the lower end, just past the bridge, the rock house, go in there, and it goes all the way up to the forestry saddle. It's been there forever. The ACC's built it way back in the day, and it's been a good road to have for access for the permittees, for hunters, for recreationists, for everything else. This all came about during the juniper fire. This is part of the outcome of the juniper fire. And we do not need to close that road. There's no need to do it. They're using an excuse that the road is over the, or the wilderness is over the road, just below it. And what they need to do is offset that wilderness boundary. That would have to be worked out with the Forest Service, prior to Congress to do it, but it could be done. And we need to keep that road in where it's at and improve it and make it passable. It's a huge, important thing for us in Young from an economic standpoint. A lot of the four-wheel drive clubs and everybody goes through there. And not only that, the permittees and hunters, recreationists, everybody else uses it also.
John?
And I think I'm in favor also of not closing the road. I think the biggest problem is that area is high level in minerals, and that's one of the main reasons I think they want to shut this down is for mining purposes. I'll do anything, write letters or whatever I can for Congress to try to alleviate this, and that's about all a supervisor can actually do at this time.
Okay, the rest of the questions will be answered by all four candidates. John, you'll answer this one first. We had not one, not two, not three, but four questions about this topic. Would you favor a policy of all county department heads being required to live in Gila County?
Well, I realize it's hard to say that because a lot of the excuse I get all the time is there isn't enough housing here in the community. I agree. I know the hospital does it, and I don't see any reason why Gila County couldn't do it. I mean, City of Globe tries to act that way, but it's hard to get qualified people in, and a lot of them have families and all set up in Phoenix. But I'm all for it myself.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm all for it. If to run for supervisor, I have to live within my district. I bought a place at Roosevelt because I love it. I live out there. But I have to be in my district. And the thing of it is I've driven the roads at Roosevelt and stuff. And so the thing of it is we get there again, I'm an infrastructure guy. How many hundreds and thousands of dollars are we writing in checks that their property taxes, their sales taxes, all their taxes are being spent in another county? That's one of the reasons that, like I say, I'm an infrastructure guy. That's another reason a lot of our places are boarded up. Because if we had Capstone, Pinto Valley did a survey, 70% of their employees commute. Freeport hasn't done it. County hasn't done it. How many of our people are spending our money in another county? And believe me, if you're a businessman, Carl, how would you like to have another 50, 60 people show up at one of your dinners? Mm-hmm. If you own a business in here, Mickey, how would you like another 100 people to stop by your store today for an ice cream cone? I think if you want a check from Gila County, I think it'd be a good thing that you live here. And because then if you don't like our schools, we'll get on the school board and help us with our school board. If you don't like our roads, well, then talk to your supervisor or somebody to help get it fixed. I'm out of time.
Mike?
Yeah, this is a question that we face all the time. One of the problems is that when we recruit upper management people, such as county managers and finance directors and the department heads who run the administration. The talent pool, we go out and search all over. We search locally, we search out of town, and the talent pool locally is pretty weak. So we have to take and interview people who come from out of town. We ask them to move here, but it is very difficult for them to find a home, you know, and move their family. Many of them have children who are in schools. Many of them have wives who have jobs in other communities. So what happens is they come up here and they live here for 4 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week. They pay rent for their apartments. They buy gas here. They buy groceries here. Okay, they don't pay property taxes, I'll give you that much. But they spend their money in this community just as much as anybody else does. Would it be nice to have them live here? It would, but legally I don't think we can force them to move to the community. That's all I have for that.
And I firmly believe they should live in the county. That's one of the requirements for us to run as supervisors. We have to be living in our districts. The one thing that these guys didn't touch on, some of these department heads have a big input as to how we live here in the county, how our tax dollars go, where our money's being spent, how things are run, who's being hired underneath them, and so forth. They can leave that at the end of the week and go home, but we can't. We live with it. And I think it's very, very important that we do the outreach and do our homework and find the people that want to live here and help us and be a part of our community and not be a part of things or whatever. The tax, as far as the tax dollars and that goes, yeah, you bet. They spend a lot of tax money outside of here. As voters, they're registered at their other places. So, to me, you bet, it's very important that those folks in those departments would be living here in Hita County.
Thank you, Woody. Our next question will be answered by Tim first. Do you feel that Gila County should have an active role in the effort to bring an aquatic center to Gold, Miami?
You want me to answer this first?
Yes, please.
You bet. I think the county ought to help any way they can to help our kids get something going. That's a lot of the reason the people live in Phoenix and vote in for whoever's running in Phoenix instead of Gila County, is we don't have anything for their children to do. And so I think as a supervisor, it's my job to help build a bigger tax base and give our people more to do, our businesses, more people to come in and spend their money there. And like I say, the Aquatic Center, how nice it would be to put in for a government grant. The more you can involve your community, the better your odds are at getting a grant. Bob's put in for the sanitation. Like I say, the Aquatic Center's wants to build maybe down in that property. So if we could tie a sanitation together, not with the Aquatic Center, because we don't want them swimming in it, but if they have ball fields and stuff, when the water comes out of Bob's plant, it's going to be almost drinkable. So if you have, you know, baseball fields and if you have things like that, then they could use the aquatic, they could use the water from Bob's sanitation. And so if you tie the more together you can tie, the better your odds are at getting a USD grant. If we can get the kids involved with projects, I'm all for it.
Mike?
Okay, thank you. The county is involved in the discussions of the Aquatic Center. I think Mr. Mercanti is sitting on that committee as a representative for the county. He goes to the meetings on a regular basis, shares all the information. In fact, I think here in a couple of weeks they're going to make a presentation to the Board of Supervisors. As supervisors, we've always been in favor of economic development. We've supported many programs, wastewater project in Miami, the drinking water project in the City of Globe. The school districts, when they want to do projects, we're there to support them. Maybe not money-wise, but we're there to write the letters, we're there to talk to the state legislators, we're there to talk to other government officials to see what's going on. So an example is, I have a son who lives in St. George, Utah, and we go up there, and in Utah, they have some really nice aquatic centers. And I've made it a point to go to those aquatic centers, get as much information about them as I can. I bring back contact cards of people who are working in those aquatic centers, and Mr. Mercanti shares those with the committee. So to say that the county isn't involved in economic development and the aquatic center is totally false.
Woody?
Like I said earlier, I'd like to promote anything that has to do with the youth. And this aquatic center, from what I'm hearing, would do just that. That would be a good thing for the community, and especially if there's ways of going back to the grant money and some other ways of getting it paid for. So hands down, as far as I'm concerned, the county should be doing whatever they can to help push this along and develop it.
John?
Thank you. Yeah, for the last almost 4 years now, I've sat on for representing the county on the board on the aquatic center. Started out with just looking for a swimming pool for the kids to replace the community center, which was over 50 years old. And it turned into the county administered the grant and partially paid for the study with Resolution Copper. And the study came out, and it's come down to two locations now. One is over by the Miami High School down in the area, which would be donated by BHP property. And there's another piece of property up above where UDOM Expand owns. And that's been a discussion and using. But anyway, it's actually going to come down to setting up a tax district on it to pay for it, because as you all know, it's one thing we can get donations to build the thing, it's to keep the operation going, so it's going to be the expensive part. So ongoing talks have been going on, and the county is fully involved in trying to get any type of recreation we can for kids, because it, not only for kids, it also brings in community development, brings in economic development. Yes.
Okay, this question will be for Mike first. We are losing our tax base and population every year. What can you do about that?
Well, is this on, Carl?
Yeah.
People move away. Okay, the economy, our economy is pretty much a single economy. It's based on the mining industry here. Resolution Copper is trying to develop their mine. They're having some issues with some of the environmentalists, but I believe that project's going to come online. When the mine shut down in 83, Inspiration or Freeport or whatever you want to call it now, went from 3,600 employees to less than 600 employees, okay? There's nothing you can do about that when your economic base is based on mining. Those folks moved away and we lost a lot of people. Our school systems right now, I think in Miami, at the high school there's 350 students, and I think in Globe there's barely 500, maybe 600 students. We need to consolidate the schools and make a better educational process for students in the community. The sheriff talked about providing services for the town of Miami. You know, the town of Miami struggles, that might be a benefit for them. There's a lot of things we can do, it's just we gotta get together and do it.
Woody?
You know, all my life, right here in Globe, you know, it's a mining town. I've seen it go up, and I've seen it go down. And I think it's liable to do it again. More likely it will. It'll go down, and then we'll build it right back up. The thing of it is we have to do our best to support these mines. Resolution is one of them. We need to get it going. That's going to be a huge impact on our community and other settlers up here as well. The other thing we got to do is we got to look at this not just as a global problem. This is county-wide. You know, it goes from the north to the south, and we have other renewable resources out there that we should be using, like our timber. We should be cutting more timber, collecting those timber receipts. You know, the government put the sawmills and everything out of business, but we need to put some effort into getting some folks back on track and getting on their feet and doing some more things. And we still have the cattle industry. On the cattle side of it, we're stocked at about 50%, 75%, maybe tops. The reason I know that is because I'm the president of the Peter County Cattle Growers. And so we need to be pushing this. All these things like this, the county receives tax money from. So.
John? We are losing our tax base and population every year. What can you do about that?
Okay, I'm sorry. The problem is one of the studies we had during this aquatic center was on people themselves, on the loss of young people. We're raising them out of the schools and they're going to college and not moving down to the valley and not coming back. We need to bring things like the aquatic center in, start building affordable housing so we can keep these people in. And I feel that's the main tax base of trauma.
Okay, Woody, this question will be for you first. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. My fault. I'm sorry, Tim. Yes, absolutely.
Promotion. We have people leaving. We have people in Phoenix that never knew Roosevelt Lake existed. Why don't they know? Because we haven't promoted it. I mean, there's a lot of recreation that we have here, from quads to the lake, to the pines up in the northern part, to the mining. I mean, if we let people know that we were here, I mean, we've got a beautiful climate here. We've got a lot of recreation. We got two lakes. We've got golf courses. We've got a lot of things for people to do, but they don't know we're here. I mean, with the IDA, we started working on a website because, I mean, people, snowbirds, they come, Yuma grows twice. Over the last few years, look at the growth of Prescott and look at Globe. We depend too much on the mines. I promote mining. I love mining. I'm there to help them all they can. But the thing of it is, too, is we can't put all our eggs in one basket. We need to promote our area. We need people from England, from Japan, from wherever, to get on a website and see some of the things there are to do here in Gila County. Maybe they'll come and see Roosevelt Lake, even out of Phoenix. I've met people that don't know we're here. Well, we need to show them that we're here, and we'll get their money out of it, which will help our taxes.
Thank you, Tim. I apologize for butting in. It's inexcusable on my part. I'm sorry, Tim. Woody, this will be for you first. With the increase of veterans with mental health and substance abuse issues, how can you help veterans, and what is your position on pushing for a veterans court?
For a veterans
what? Veterans court.
Veterans court. Veterans are really important to me and every one of you sitting here. If it wasn't for our vets, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion tonight. So, as far, I understand what Mark's saying as far as our veterans and the needs that they have. This all came about here, what, a year or so ago? It really came out? I mean, I've got a dad that was in Vietnam. I got first-hand experience as far as veterans go. I've got a father-in-law that is in World War II. And we're taking care of him and my mother-in-law both at home. I don't think we can do enough for veterans. I'll just make it real simple. If there's anything that out there that we can improve or expand on that will help our vets, we need to be doing it. And that could be anywhere from, you know, a nursing home or breaking their property taxes or whatever we can find to help our veterans. We need to be going that extra mile to do it. Because I can tell you for sure that without our veterans,
none of us would be here today or tonight doing this. So I'll just make it real simple. As far as if I was in the county, anything and everything I could do to improve that, I'd be done.
We really do need to support our veterans. I know yesterday we had a ceremony in the courthouse. We had Tony McConnell. He was a member of the Vietnam War, and Congressman Kilpatrick's office he brought to the attention. He received some medals, and it was a very, very great honor to be there. I know a lot of the problem is today is our medical and trying to take care of that. We've had a serious problem down at the VA in Phoenix here for the last 3 years, and it's an ongoing issue, and the federal government needs to step up and do whatever we can to take care of this.
Tim?
Yeah, I'll fall in line with all of that. We can't do too much for our veterans, and that's got to work from the state level and the county level. I think the veterans have kind of got a closed door from the top down and the bottom up, and we try to do all we can, and there's a group out at Roosevelt, the RRO. Merle, he's a veteran, and they're always working to try to get docks for vets to fish off of that are handicapped, and working against the Forest Service and things to try to get some of these things going. And you bet, I jump on the wagon and help vets any way I can.
Having served during the Vietnam era, I didn't go to Vietnam. I was in the South Pacific, but I am a Vietnam era veteran. And I've worked very closely with Mario Villegas over there in the veteran's hat on. The Veterans Court is a system where veterans are looked at a little bit differently and considered some of the issues that they're involved with, some of the PSD, some of the other things that are involved. And a couple of years ago, I believe, the group at the hospital that Jerry Burns is involved with had a veterans what did they call it? Veterans. I can't remember what they call it. But anyways, it was a veterans call out, and many of the veterans in the community showed up. And one of the points of discussion was establishing a veterans court. In order to do that, we have to get with the county attorney. It was mentioned to him, but that hasn't gotten off the desk yet. But it's a good issue that needs to be revisited, and I understand where that's coming from. So, as a veteran, I think it's important.
Okay, John, this question will be for you first. If you can please hold your applause to the end, that way, appreciate it. John, this question is for you first. We had three questions about this issue. What are your plans to deal with blight in Gila County?
Well, that is a serious problem because I have to deal with it quite a bit in the Hayden-Winkleton area, and then Supervisor Pastor does it in Claypool and Central Heights area. We have some issues. And the problem is these properties are going on through the tax rolls and non-payment of tax, and they get turned over. We deed them back to the state of Arizona. So at that time, when these properties get deeded to the state of Arizona, we don't have any way to do anything to the property. So I have a hotel down in Hayden area that's falling apart that could come down on somebody, but we can't touch it because it's state owned. So we're introducing this year some legislation to the state to have that property. At least we'll be able to, as a county, to go in and clean it up, and then we'll be able to set a lien on the property for the amount that it took to clean up the property. At least this way we can go in and board up these properties, tear them down, and start cleaning them up.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that there's legislation in on it. I wasn't aware of that, but I'm glad something is being done, because I think once they go into a tax lien, that the tax lien is way too long. A lot of them are like 7 years. A property not attended with vandalism and stuff can almost fall down in 7 years. I recently purchased a property from the state of Arizona that the lady died in a care facility in 2002. I started trying to buy the property at the end of 2011. I didn't get the property bought through the state. I had to get property attorneys and stuff until 2015. So for 13 years, it was my understanding that we paid the tax dollars on that property to keep it from falling into a county tax lien, because the state overtook it because of a lien for the lady in their care facility. So there's a lot of hidden things that need to be brought out, and the people that are elected in our higher up positions with the state, these issues need to be brought to them, because we do need some law changing in our blight, because it's crippling our area as far as growth, because we can't build on it. We just have to sit and look at it, and so there's definitely things have to be done.
The county has a program. It's called the Lean and Clean Program. We have a couple of inspectors, one down here in the southern part of the county and one up in the northern part of the county. And it is true. All of you have seen these properties in your neighborhoods. And believe me, it is rough. It is tough, because once they go to the state puts that lien on them. And like Mr. Humphrey said here, took him 8 years, 9 years, 12 years?
It took me 5 years.
Okay. All right. Sat empty for 13 and took him 5 years to get it. That's the laws in this state. There's nothing we can do about it except propose legislation and have it changed. One of the critical things about changing legislation on abandoned properties and stuff is that those properties are private properties that belong to some families. And some private property rights in Arizona are very, very hard to crack the whip on. But John and I and Tommy are proposing that legislation, and hopefully we'll get some relief. Now, there have been a couple of cases where we've been able to take some properties, clean them and lien them, and they're out there, nice clean lots, but it's a very difficult process to do.
I'm familiar with this lien and clean program that they have from the outside. I've talked to some folks about it. It is a necessary program, and there's not a lot I can add to what these three have said already, other than let's hope we can get that legislation passed and we can get on cleaning these properties up.
Okay, Tim, you'll answer this question first. This will be our last question for our opening statements, our closing statements. As county supervisors, how do you feel about promise zones?
Well, I don't feel about promise zones, because there's not one on the table right now, and the last one that was up was put aside and not given any room at all. And so I think if promise zone does come up in the future, people need to pay real close attention and get some attorney's input on all of the fine legislation writing that's written into them.
Mike?
Yeah, promise zones were pretty controversial in this community when they came around. The IDA approached the County Board of Supervisors here about a year ago, and asked if we would be willing to write a letter of support for the promise zone. It took us about 6-8 weeks of discussions and reviewing documentation and everything, and we told them we would support their effort to go out as long as they got the rest of the communities lined up. There was only one rural promise zone award left, and Gila County didn't get it, and after much controversy in this community, it was probably the wrong decision to try and go for it, because Many, many folks in this community, both north, south, and central, did not want it. And, you know, that was something that we've learned.
Woody?
I've been approached with Thomas Stone from the time I pulled my papers to run. I've heard a lot about it. And all I can say is I never went there to begin with. It's an Obama program, and we all know how Obamacare works. So I can only imagine how that Thomas Stone is going to work. There's a lot of fine print, like Tim said, in those pages that a lot of people have mixed feelings about. But to me, it would not have been worth looking at from the beginning because of that.
Thank you. I was in favor of the Thomas Stone. I looked at this as a tool that we could on different grants and offers. Actually, it was a gate, Gila County and San Carlos, which put in together with it. On any type of grant they have, you would get extra points to go against the grant. You had a good chance of getting a lot of things that San Carlos really needed. And we had a few projects here we could use it too, but it wouldn't even help out in Young for any projects they would have. I think it was a good program. It's gone now. It's not coming back. So that was my 2 cents on it.
Fair enough. Time for our closing statements. John, you'll go first, and then I'll go to the right with Tim going last. Up to 3 minutes. And, John?
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for coming tonight. There was a lot of good issues brought up tonight, but 4 years ago I ran because I care about people, and this year of re-election I still care for people. I care about the lady that came in, the mother that came into my office with her 3 children to tell me that her husband was dying of cancer, and she had so many costs going back and forth to the valley, she didn't know how she was going to make her utility payments. And I care about the Vietnam vet who called and sick at home in the middle of summer, didn't have any heat, any cooling. And I also cared mostly about our seniors and the Meals on Wheels program, where I go out and talk to the drivers and they tell me that these meals that they're delivered to the people, that they put half of these meals away to save them for dinner later. So that's why I ran for supervisor. That's why I'm running for re-election. I hope you support me. Thank you.
Woody, please hold your applause.
It's been a long race. From the time I started to get to the primary to where we're standing here tonight. I've met a ton of people. I've had a lot of fun doing this. And I've heard of a lot of issues. Anywhere from hard to get building permits to floodplains to no representation, whatever it was. I've heard it all through this race. You're probably wondering why these 2 bottles of water are sitting right there. The dark one right there on the left is what the folks in Greaso Creek have coming out of their faucets. The one on the right, that's what I want to work towards changing it to if I'm elected, to help those people get that change. There's a lot of other issues in this county that I'd like to help turn around. Like I said at the beginning, I wanted to improve the county. I have different ideas and different thoughts. I'm endorsed by 4 different people right now. One is a tribal councilman from White Mountain Apache Tribe, Jared Altahaw. The other one is Sylvia Allen, state senator. I'm endorsed by Brenda Barton, Arizona State Representative, and Bob Thorpe, Arizona State Representative. I'm a member of the Gila County Cattle Growers. Like I said, I'm the president. Also, I'm a member of the state cattle growers. I'm in business for myself. And I've been here in Gila County forever. So my thought is the reason I run is to improve our situations here in Gila County. And if you would elect me, I intend to work hard for you and be your representative and do everything I can to make you the county better. Thank you.
Mike? Once again, I want to thank you, Mark, and I want to thank Ellen, and I want to thank Carl and Rebecca for hosting tonight's forum. I think it was very good. There were some interesting thoughts and ideas thrown out to the public. So in closing, I just want to pledge to continue to my commitment to serve with honesty and integrity at all times, and my actions will always be transparent. I will continue treating everybody equally and respectfully, and no one will get special favors from county government. I will continue setting high expectations for a high level of service for all of Gila County residents and be a watchdog over taxpayer dollars. I will continue listening to your voices and servicing all the residents of Gila County on a full-time basis. I've been honored to have represented you for these past 8 years, and with your support in the upcoming election, I hope to be given the same opportunity to continue serving me. And just so you know, we do have a web page. It's called I Like Mike. Very simple. Just go on there and you can find it. Thank you. Tim?
As I say, I'm an infrastructure guy. I've run a construction business for the last 18 years. Over the last 8 years, I've watched a lot of county buildings get built, from the metal buildings over at the dump, the big modular home behind the courthouse. I've watched the courthouse get remodeled. I've watched a screening deal come in to where you have to take everything out of your pockets and stuff to even go in the courthouse. Right across the street, I see houses that are just boarded up and falling down. I've also heard said that there's nothing that can be done. Well, I've been in business 18 years, and if I can get a house out of the clutches of the state of Arizona, I think if I get elected supervisor, I'd have a little bit more pull than I would as a contractor. So I think something can be done. I think it just has to, everybody has to work together to do it. On my board in my construction office, I have the word team, T-E-A-M, because together everybody achieves more. And on the other side is fear, false evidence appearing real. And because I read those every day, because as a community, we have to work together with the sanitation department. We have to work together. If we have a fight, it's not my fight. It's not your fight. It's all our fight. We need to work together to do that. And it's my pledge that if I'm elected county supervisor, I work for you. I've never been a politician, don't want to be one. I'm a businessman. And like I said, I'm applying for a job to work for you, to help any way I can to make this a better community so our businesses can have more people in it, our schools can have more people in it, and we can clean it up some. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you to all four of the candidates. It's obvious that all four of you care deeply about Gila County. So the voters will have a tough choice here in a few weeks. As a side note, we do have a few questions that we didn't have time for. I'm sure the candidates will be more than happy to answer them for you. Let's give a big hand to the four candidates.